Hello and welcome to this Growthcast, the English language Growth Club and O podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
I'm still here.
Still there, are you?
Still hanging on.
Yeah, like Lou Reed in that song.
Okay, that took it. Like Perfect Day.
That's right, yes.
Which is...
How's your heroin base come down? Is it all right?
Yeah, isn't it just mental that they released that as a charity song for children in need later on? Seemingly unaware of what the song is really about.
My favourite bit is Lou Reed only gets one line, and it's the final line, and he gives this little sort of knowing wink to the camera.
He does the first bit.
Oh, does he do the first bit? Yeah. Okay, it's the...
David, I bought the single. Bought the single. I presume that someone bought it for me.
Okay.
Because I think it was like 1997 or something like that, and I would have been 8 or 9. I definitely had it on CD, because that's back when you bought singles on CD. Or at least some people did.
Yeah, I think I probably bought 2 singles on CD my entire life.
Do you remember your first single?
I think it was Country House.
We have very different backgrounds. I believe mine might have been the same year, David. And it was Could It Be Magic by Take That.
Good.
Couldn't be.
Well,
had 9 tracks on it, 8 of them remixes, because that's what you'd put on a single.
Yeah, put on a single. The B side to Country House was a Graham Coxon written number. I can't remember anything about it, but it was called One Is Born Every Minute. I'm not sure it was a Coxon.
Is that
one,
like counter,
thinking about it now?
Is that counteracting Bono killing children by clicking his fingers?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Damon and the boys doing their best for humanity. Anyway, I tell you who's not doing their best for humanity. It's Broyovka Bono.
Such a perfect day.
Yeah. I wish they were someone else, someone good. Yeah, we're going to talk about them in a bit. Beginning with, we're not even going to give you a menu. You're just going to have to deal with what comes at you. Starting with Home to Flasheen. We played Vlashim at home, and Liam and I went. You didn't went.
No, I was in Bosnia.
That's right. How was Bosnia, by the way?
It depends if you count where I was from really being Bosnia, because a lot of people were convinced it wasn't. A lot of people were convinced it was Serbia. But very interesting. I was there to watch Borac Banja Luka draw with Panathinaikos 1-1 in a reasonably entertaining game. And I was following this on my phone in the pub.
Mm.
Wish I hadn't.
Yes. You weren't there, and very, very few people were there. Officially, it was 1,312. That sounds like bollocks, because, I mean, I don't think there are 1,000 people there. It's the emptiest I've ever seen, Srpska, frankly. Which is a shame, because it was entertaining in a silly way.
Yeah.
It was cold by the end. It was very cold.
Is that all Zbrojovka can do right now, is be like entertaining in a silly way, rather than like entertaining in a positive footballing sense?
I mean, that particular week's bingo ball pick for a front three was Šrantaro Potočnik and Kronos. And it is the world's most rectangular man who opens the scoring with an absolute belter of a shot. Did you see this?
I've seen none of this. I've been a dereliction of duty.
It was like from the... Because they were shooting towards what is ostensibly the away end in the first half. Far side of the area, about 35 yards out.
I did see this.
Pinged it into the far corner.
Yes, I did see this because the club put it on social media.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure I shared it. So yes, I have seen this.
Yeah,
it
caught everyone off guard, including me, because I was looking the other way at the time, so I missed that live.
One of those shots that Peter Stepanovsky used to take on back in
his pump. Absolutely one of those, yeah. So that was nice, and that put us one up, and then Kronos gets his second after an hour, and we're in surely not a win territory, and surely enough, it was not a win.
It's a bit like when you're... when you're a kid and, you know, I don't know, your mum tells you you've got to go to bed, you have to close down Minecraft. So then Minecraft man, who scored his 2 goals, subsides and allows Vlashim to take over.
Yeah, we sit back as we always do. Vlashim score on 80 minutes. And then Liam and I turned to each other in a, oh, this sort of way. And yes, bang on. Less than 2.5 minutes later, Flashy make it 2-2.
Going wild in front of, I'm assuming, a completely empty away
stand. Empty away end, yes. And almost a completely empty home stand as well, to be fair.
Do you get one of those ones where it's just like, you know, everyone's just got that collective deflation in the stand, except for like one guy at the back that's just going, boo! Is it one of those jobs?
It was very much exactly that. I will come on to this later, but I was at a Setkani yesterday, a fans meeting, and Martin Jaranek, ex-Birmingham and various places in Russia fame, and some caps for the Czech Republic, 38 or something, mentioned that he had never, ever been in a dressing room so devoid of spark, energy, imagination, belief, or any buzzword in his entire life. He was appalled at what he found when he went in there as a sporting director.
Did he not play for Birmingham City?
Yeah, they won the League Cup when he was there.
That's not a real competition.
Made William Gallas cry.
I'd make William Gallas cry.
Would you?
tell him something really mean. Listen, I've got no idea what's happening tonight. I'm exhausted.
Well, that's what happened between Zvorovka and Vlashim. Yeah, we got a point. It was the absolute definition of 2 points drop, though.
Is it just performatory now, in a lot of ways?
How do you mean?
If the dressing room is devoid of anything, we'll come on to Zhizhkov later, but like, if it is devoid of anything, really, is it a bit like, you know, that sort of job you had as a student in a call centre where ultimately nobody cares? You're in there, right? You go out, you get, you know, sort of bollocked, you know, all day or whatever from these customers, or ship 2 goals to a very middling team from Central Bohemia in a football match. And then, you know, your head goes down the dressing room, and then what you do, you know, you go to the break room, put your jacket on, go home, and then that's it. It's starting to feel, in a lot of ways, like there's not really, it's not about really belief. It's just about people coming in, not really doing more than the bare minimum, and then expecting something to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to come on to that next. The next section we're going to talk about is ownership chat and various other things after the fans meeting yesterday. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the Vlashim thing? I got nout.
Well, all I would just say is that I think, was it based on this result and other results going elsewhere, which popped Zbrovka in the relegation zone for the first time?
Yeah.
So that is the nadir, you might say, of the last perhaps 18 months of...
the nadir of the last 18 months so far.
So far. I mean, like I said, David, we're coming on to Victoria Zhizhkov later on in the programme.
Right. Let's talk about something slightly less on-pitch related after this. Right then, I spent yesterday evening in the slight cold because they had to have it outside because there's no room within the stadium big enough to host, like, 60 people. But, yeah, there was a first ever fans meeting, and it was you had to sort of... You didn't have to register to come, but it helped if you did because they were giving out free food and drink. You got a free klobasa and stuff and free pints if you wanted, which I did, which is quite nice. And it was a Q&A with the new owner, Honza Minar, the sporting director, as mentioned, Martin Jaranek, and the press officer, Tomáš Šusta. Not Šustur, Šusta, I found out. And they were basically, it started off with questions from an online forum on a clipboard. Uh-huh. And then, I don't want to say descended, but basically hands went up immediately.
Sure.
And that was a kind of open forum for questions for the next hour and a quarter, hour and 20 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
It was pretty informative. The things I took away from it were... Jaranek seems really, really into the project. He was very shy about speaking at first. It took him about 10 minutes to get into it. But once he hit his stride, once he hit his straps, he was really, sporting-wise, I think he really knows what he's doing. One of the weird things was it seems like the manager is on his way out, because it was bizarre to hear a lot of chat about meetings that have taken place behind closed doors, expectations being met or not, without the person there.
Sure.
You know, that was bizarre. Signings-wise, he was pressed on how many people they're bringing in, and the answer that was finally got out of him was, we want at least one person in each position. We have a minimum of four people basically nailed on. But it could be anywhere up to 9 or 10.
Good.
So there we go. So that was informative. But yeah, basically strengthening in every position, which I take it now includes, well, will include goalkeepers, because we'll come on to that.
To include goalkeepers.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in the Zhizhkov section. Otherwise, it is full steam ahead for stadium renovation. The roof will be improved, and the, as we look at it from where we stand, left-hand end is basically going to get knocked down and brought closer to the pitch to make way for more medical facilities, more press facilities, and so forth.
Does this put our spot under risk?
It does not. No,
good.
No,
because that's the important thing. Because I would have caused a scene if that was to be happening.
No, this is like stage one of the trying to get back into the top league plan, because they can't get back into the top league without doing all of these things. So that is going to start during the winter break and then throughout summer, basically because nobody uses that stand anyway.
Yeah.
So they can continue working on it while we continue to play there. On the topic of new stadium is very much in the plan, but it's not going to happen until at least, I think it was 27, 28 to break ground, because they want it on the site of the velodrome.
Yeah.
And the cyclists have contract until then. They were asked whether it could be at Luzhanki. It's not off the table, but it's basically off the table.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a 3% chance that they would be able to buy that land and then build on there. So it's going to be Vista Vistia probably. Mm-hmm. Because obviously the new hockey stadium is being built there anyway, so.
You would imagine in some ways it's a little bit cheaper. Yes. Weird as that sounds.
Yeah, you would think so. A couple of other takeaways, I suppose, were that when it comes to branding, they want to, like, sponsorship wise, they want to get both general and strategic partners. The what they want to do is like, for the front of shirt, have a kind of national sponsor, but also work closely with a lot of more local companies to get the kind of, you know, Brno brand in there. And the name will stay. There'll probably be like a badge rebrand maybe, but the name Zbrojovka will definitely stay. And one of the other things they want to do when it comes to like merch and stuff is there was much hankering for an in-town store like Cometa have for selling bits and pieces, because it's an untapped revenue stream. Not a big revenue stream, but it's an untapped revenue stream.
It's a pain in the arse, right enough, when you have a fan shop which is open twice a week or whatever it is.
Yeah,
for
all the way up at the ground, which is a pain, which is kind of a pain in the arse to get
and
to
then
anyway.
And closes before most people are out of their work as well.
Exactly.
Because I've had issues ordering stuff from there before and having to pick it up, because I don't, you know, I can't get out of work as easily as maybe some people can. But I mean, that is all sounding positive. I mean, the one thing as well, we're talking about, you know, the Brovka performance is being performatory. Probably what doesn't help is when you have, you know, guys in an open forum going, oh, we're going to get, you know, going to get 10 new sort of people in, and then people go, well, but what's the point? But I guess stuff has to be done. There was something else that I was going to bring up, and I've completely forgotten about it now. So this is a very, very successful on my part on this evening's podcast. It'll maybe come to me in a moment if you say words.
Player-wise, the other thing was that they are still very committed to giving youth a chance, because they've acknowledged that lots of the youth team players who have come in have been trying their absolute best.
Yeah.
it's people like, no names were named, but the older professionals who are not doing what they should be doing. Pernitzer, Shural, Unetsky.
I mean, I was going to say the
Štěpánek, you know.
This is the one thing as well about, you know, that Zbrojovcast Facebook, Zbrojovcast bracket Facebook. I like that. It's like MVT bracket Svangirai back in Zimbabwe. But you put out what could only be described as a come and get me plea a while ago.
Yeah.
For possibly to do the English language, you know, stuff for the club. We would never in a million years be able to just be starting to name players being you're unprofessional and you should get out.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd miss it.
Yeah, they might, but we'd be instantly sacked, obviously. But hey ho, you know, go in, fuck shit up, come out again.
Yeah, that's like a rare case of someone being instantly sacked at the club. That is fantastic news.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's all sounding very positive, though. Was there anyone from the fans who were there that we would know? Were there a lot of the boys from the ultras there?
Yes, there were boys from the ultras section because they wanted to know what the situation was with pyro in the second league pre and post game, because there are certain rules that the LFA has in. That was part of it. The other one that they were concerned with again was like, just like, you know, making sure that the club maintains its identity and its name and such and such.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but there was a remarkably wide cross-section of people. Like
that's
old,
good.
Young, not that many women, obviously, but because, like, okay, not obviously, but it was sort of lads wrapped up in large coats. But like age-wise and kind of sort of politics and language wise, it was a fair spread. Like there were a few people who listened to us who were very happy to see at least me there. And like, you know,
usually as happy to see me. I was
jokingly asked, you know, do you think they'll answer any questions in English? And I was like, that's not what I'm here for. You know, I don't want to make waves or anything, but I did get to speak to everyone after I spoke to Minar and Jiránek and Shuster, and they were all very forthcoming and very, 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 very nice people and happy to give me some time. So
that's
nice.
Good. If anyone from the club is listening, two words that absolutely terrify me after David's very good recap there is badge redesign. Now, I don't think I've seen a good badge redesign for any club in years.
Also, you don't have a tattoo to remove.
Oh, that's retro though. You're cool again.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I'll be uncool before uncool was cool.
I swear to God, if it's that same identikit badge that you know, if it's your club, if you're listening, every single team uses now the bloody circle with the old a retouched old badge in, like Man City sort of style. Mm. Here's looking at you, Homotov. Is not good.
Yeah. I mean, the badge we have now is a circle within a circle.
Yes, but it's also got geometric-y bits in it. That's the word, right?
And it's also very much based on the original badge.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with the original badge.
Exactly. Anyway, shall we move on to... On my list, I've got hot or not next. Because there were some hots and some nots in that segment. So here's some more. It's hot or not a clock. TikTok. It's hot or not a clock.
We're not on TikTok and we never will be.
No.
But I have one of each as is traditional.
Yep. Do you want to start or should I?
You start.
Okay, I'm going to start with a not.
Okay.
And my not is the cerebral double of awful 21st century football franchising Inter Miami and Gianni Infantino.
Uh-huh. What's he done now?
Right. Inter Miami have won the Supporters' Shield.
Is that not what they call the league or something even?
Well, now, here's the thing. It's given to the team with the highest... There are various caveats to this because the MLS is complicated and difficult and weird.
Sure.
But it's basically given to the team with the highest number of points in either of the conferences in the MLS before the playoffs start. Because you've got Eastern Conference, Western Conference.
Yeah.
Inter Miami have won the Eastern Conference and they've got like 74 points, which is a record high. But then the top 8, I think, of each go into the knockout, into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then whoever wins the MLS Cup is the champions of the US, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's fair enough. You know, well done to them for winning their conference. But Infantino has now suddenly decided that that's enough to secure them a place at the Club World Cup, whether they actually win the MLS Cup or not. Which seems really fucking unfair to every other team who make the playoffs and are in with a chance of becoming actual champions of the MLS. Because obviously, oh, you've got Messi and Suarez, so we need you at our big jamboree that we're starting next year. He released a statement, obviously he did.
Of course he did.
Written like somebody on AI, in fact, written like the fucking cosplay version of the Hood from Thunderbirds that he is. Congratulations on your wonderful 2024 Supporters Shield success. You have shown that in the United States, you are consistently the best club on the field of play. Therefore, I am proud to announce that as one of the best clubs in the world, you are deserved participants in the new FIFA World Cup 2025 as the host club representing the United States. Call me cynical.
That the club this year, once they got all their superstars in, that they quadrupled the price of their season tickets for supporters, isn't
it? Yeah. It's almost as if this is the future that FIFA wants. It actually is the future FIFA wants, yeah.
Just everything about that club annoys me, by the way. Inter Miami.
Yeah.
What's Inter standing for? What's Inter standing for, motherfucker?
Interminable.
You know what? Can I just put it out there as well? And I know that, you know, there is a lot of cultural diversity in the United States, right? Just putting it out there, right? Putting the term club de football in your name, identity or whatever, I'm not just saying this about Inter Miami or whatever, it's not exotic, it's not fancy. That's just how people call their teams in places like Spain.
Yeah. Step forward, Real Salt Lake. I don't think you've got a royal charter.
Real Salt Lake? Well, I'm not doubting it's a real Salt Lake, but like, no, not good.
Yeah, show us your Spanish royal charter and I'll believe you. Otherwise, you can fuck off.
This is, Real Sociedad de Salt Lake. Ciudad de Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Logos del Sol.
The Royal Sporting Society of Salt Lake City. Nickname, the Mormons.
Come on, you Latter-day Saints.
When the Latter-day Saints go marching in.
Terrible. I know that they're doing, you know, there's some interesting fan club sort of culture and all this sort of stuff there. I just cannot get to grips with football in the United States. I just can't. It's strange. It's like putting sriracha on ice cream. Like, not for me, Clive.
All right, give me one of yours.
It's not much. It's just this very annoying tweet that I saw. And it's a guy called Tim Stillman.
Right.
He's got a lot of followers. He writes a lot about the Arsenal.
He doesn't call them the Arsenal, does he?
No, I don't think so. I'm calling them the Arsenal.
Yeah.
And this is just... I love the context of this as well. He's edited it as well. I think this is this is the edited version. He edited it because he's got one of those arsehole accounts on, x.com. But this is still pretty bad. Bournemouth continue to allocate such a tiny amount of tickets for away fans. They were first promoted to the top flight 9 years ago. I understand they have issues expanding their ground, but these should be their issues and not passed on to fans of other clubs. There should be a minimum Premier League away allocation once a team has been in the top flight for at least 3 years, and it should be bigger than the one Bournemouth give.
That is ridiculous.
There is a minimum Premier League away allocation, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Because I looked this up, because he was going, Arsenal give 3,000 away tickets,
right.
which is more than reasonable, and that actually is the Premier League minimum if your stadium holds over 30,000 people.
Right.
So
and Bournemouth does not.
Yes, I love the reek of entitlement that comes from certain people who, I'm going to say, want... Actually, I was going to say no offence to him. Actually, quite a lot of offence to him. People that cosplay as journos... because this guy writes for something called... I would never call myself a journalist unless I was very drunk. He writes about Arsenal for something called Arseblog, which I'm pretty sure is about football and not about... I don't know. He also does something for the Arsenal V podcast. I think V probably stands for Virgin. It stands for Arsenal Vision. There you go.
Arsenal Vision.
Yeah. 163,000 followers on Twitter for that amount of shite.
Right.
Oh, by the way, his team lost. You think he'd bring it up if they didn't?
Yeah.
I don't think he would.
Mm. Right.
Premier League dreadful.
I'm not at all bitterly unglad that Coventry City are now not in the promotion playoffs race.
You're certainly in some race.
Crashing and burning. Never fancied her anyway.
I miss Blackpool away.
Yeah. I've got hot, and forgive my pronunciation on all of this. My hot is the Estadio Olímpico Milton de Souza Correa, commonly known as Zerau, in Macapá, Brazil.
Is it shaped like a massive...
No,
okay.
I found this out a couple of weeks ago, and because it wasn't time sensitive, I thought I would... Because I couldn't think of one this week, so I wheeled this out. There is a commonly held belief that the halfway line sits exactly on the equator.
Oh, that is pleasing, isn't it?
Meaning that each team, when they play there, is defending not only a goal, but a hemisphere.
That is
which I think is really neat.
That is very good.
Yeah. Prosaically, it's actually about 50 metres north of the equator, but this is a commonly held belief. Okay. And I think that's a really cool thing to have as your, like, you know, as your USP in your stadium. That's really funky.
Yes, absolutely. That's very good indeed.
That was that, really.
Quite like that.
Yeah. You were hot?
Dons. Has to be Dons, right? It's lucky because when I can't think of a hot right now, luckily enough I have a football team that I support that is, and I cannot emphasize this enough, listener, it's doing so well, so fucking well, beyond my wildest dreams.
So well. Good, guys. So good. Just so good.
So good. They're saying it's the best team ever. That's what I hear. They're saying it everywhere.
I was doing Pep.
Oh really? I was doing Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, yeah.
So good, guys. So good.
Wasn't that the very failed tagline for a while of KFC?
Oh, so good.
It was so good.
So good, yes.
And we once had a Zbrojovka banner. Do you remember
That's
this?
That's right,
it was FCZB.
So good. Yeah. So good, guys.
The glory days.
Yeah. God, anyway, Dons.
Few players I'd like in the bucket. I mean, I didn't watch the match, so, you know, I'm claiming, you know, stolen valor for this, because the best thing that actually happened, really, at the weekend was I was at the darts, and I had a very good time at the darts, watching about 8 to 9 hours of just professionals chucking stuff at a board, drinking beer, and every so often shouting, "Wah!" It was great. And I checked my phone about 30 minutes into the Aberdeen-Celtic match at Parkhead. So it was 2-0 Celtic, and I was like, I was expecting to lose anyway. That's that. To then come back from 2-0 to draw 2-2 and arguably, you know, be the better side, possibly win the game, is something that I'm not used to as an Aberdeen supporter.
Mm.
Because normally you go in 2-0 at halftime and you go in and you lose 4-0, 5-0. So I don't know what the hell Jimmy Tellin has done with a squad which is good, not great, in my view.
He's not telling.
But good. But long may it continue.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Before we head into other more prosaic matters, because of the defending a hemisphere stadium thing, would you like a quiz?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. It's quiz time, everyone, and this quiz is called Weird Features of Stadiums. That's the intro that I've got.
Is it you've been in some of them? Anyway.
Yes.
Good. Looking forward to this to an extent, because my record with your quizzes is not good.
Okay, right, here we go. Question number one. Before their redevelopment / demolition, what was unusual about the about both the Vicente Calderon and Lansdowne Road? It still applies to the Johan Cruyff Arena where Ajax play.
Yes, I don't... The other one was Portman Road, was it, did you say?
Lansdowne Road,
okay, yeah. So a completely wrong part of the... a completely wrong part of the country, different country.
Yes.
I'll be honest, the only thing I know about the Vicente Calderon was that there was a road or motorway going under it.
Okay.
Under one of the stands. So I'll say that there was some sort of... there was some sort of street or thoroughfare going through it.
I'll give you that. They all had transport running under them.
Oh, okay.
The Calderon had the motorway, as you said, and Lansdowne Road had a dart stop underneath one of the stands.
Okay.
The Johan Cruyff Arena still has a road running under it. So there we go. You'll definitely get this. I think what links Sunderland and Benfica when it comes to stadiums?
They're big.
No. I mean, that's true, but...
I mean, are they both? Do they both have the? Do they both have the same name, in the sense of Sunderland, right?
Yeah,
Sunderland, Sunderland and Benfica.
Yes,
both have "Hawaii the lads" written on the air.
No,
I don't know. I think they're both called the Stadium of Light. I guess
they are both called the Stadium of Light. Yeah.
You said you're definitely going to get this, and said there's two teams, and for a moment I was like, eh.
Yeah, it's Stadio Daluge.
Oh, okay.
And the Stadium of Light.
Are you sure it doesn't have Hawaii the lads?
Pretty sure, okay. Yeah. Number three. There is a ground in Scotland that features one of the only L-shaped stands in world football. It runs from the halfway line, then takes a jog into an L shape at the southern end of the ground. Which club or ground would this be?
Ooh. I've got time on this because you can edit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
This is my Livingston all over again, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, dear. L going through. I'm trying to think. Do you know if I've been in this stadium?
I don't know.
Is it in the west? Is it on the west coast of Scotland?
I don't know.
Great. just for the sake of time, put me out of my misery.
It's Starks Park.
Oh, the Rovers. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what stand you mean as well. Yeah.
It was designed by...
Alexander Leach?
Archibald Leach,
Archibald
yes.
Leach, yeah.
Who designed
parts
of all of over 20 grounds in the UK and Ireland, including Craven Cottage, Highbury, Ibrox, Filbert Street, Goodison Park, Hillsborough, Molyneux and more. Right.
I have, again, listener, got the Scottish football question wrong.
That's okay. Also, hello to Raith Rovers fan David...
Hello.
Who came up and said hello at Zhizkov.
He did. I'm sorry I couldn't give you better conversation, but I was absolutely dying.
More on that later. Question four. Bursaspor's Centennial Ataturk Stadium has a striking design in that it looks like an animal. Which animal?
Fuck if I know. Ataturk. They're all called after Ataturk,
aren't
they?
They are, yeah.
Right, I mean, this is just going to be an absolute punt in the dark, so I'm going to say horse.
It's a crocodile.
Oh, great.
If you Google it, it really looks like a crocodile.
Really?
And number five, the San Jose Earthquakes PayPal Park.
This is not the first time that PayPal Park has been featured in a quiz question.
Is home to the longest outdoor what in North America?
I don't know. Longest outdoor.
It's basically almost the entire length of one of the ends. It's like a three-sided job. And at one end, they have a massive video wall screen thing. And then they have another really long thing underneath the big video wall screen.
I was going to say slide.
That would be cool.
I don't think I'm getting this in a million years, am I?
North America's longest bar.
Okay.
Yeah. It runs almost the entire length. And,
bar. And,
yeah. This is Barbara. Call a bar. But yeah, basically it runs like almost the entire length under the giant screen, so you can sit on bar stools and have a pint and watch the game.
I see, yeah. No, we're not the bad players.
So anyway, there's that.
The boy's name's Bart. I don't know the name of the man.
So that was a mildly disappointing thing.
Oh, for me, absolutely.
Would you like Zhishkov or Beer of the Podcast?
I mean, which is the most disappointing?
Of those two?
Yeah. Should we have a break of the misery, do you think?
Should we have a beer?
Nah, go on.
All right. Beer of the Podcast. And it's my Beer of the Podcast this time. I had completely forgotten that it was, but luckily I had a can of the new beer that they're serving on RegioJet. So I came back from Prague on the RegioJet train, and I bought one, didn't fancy it in the end, put it in my bag, and it's just been sitting in my fridge for the last 3 or 4 days. So I don't know whether it's one they have brewed specifically for the train. However, on the can, it does have a lovely stylized kind of Český dráhy train on it.
Yes.
Which is weird because it's not made for České dráhy, obviously. But it's a clock beer. They have replaced... RegioJet used to serve Bernard
was one of them. Very good, very cheap Bernard.
Yes, and they've replaced it with this, which is still, for a, you know, can of hipster IPA, I think is still only 26 crowns.
That's good.
They still serve Pilsen if you want regular lager, but this is now their kind of go-to other one. It's a 4.1%, so a Desitka. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a fine option if you're ever travelling by RegioJet, which I would recommend because they're decent.
Yes, they're not bad though. Very very jam packed on a Sunday now, I see.
Yes, both buses and train. How was your getting back? Was it okay?
Again, more will be revealed later on. But I got onto the bus at Florence. And a minute later, when I woke up, I was in Brno.
Nice. Let's have a go on this then, just to see what it's like. Think.
Not an IPA, is it? Unless I've lost all my sense of taste.
Not really, no. Yeah. It's just a slightly
hoppy lager.
Yeah, slightly hoppy, slightly denser lager.
That's fine. I was getting very worried for a minute.
No. I think they basically, I think what they've tried to do, because I think they knew it was going on the train, is to make it interesting but not, you know, not alienate people.
Sure.
So, and you know, they seem to have done that really well, because it's a, you know, it's a tasty effort.
I'd happily have a can of that in the train. Yeah. Nice cold as well. That's the thing. I think it's one of those benefits from being cold, that beer.
Yeah. They're also very careful to bring it to you cold. They put it in one of the...
The cooling sheath.
Yeah, but in their, like, cowboy belt that they put the pint in to, like, bring it around. But, yeah, like, I mean, I got mine... I got one when I went up, and despite the fact... we were 5 minutes out of the station. It was like proper fridge cold when it came out. So that was decent.
Perfect.
And like I said, 26, 28 crowns a pop on the train. So
very satisfying recommended way to travel. I mean, thankfully something's cheap. Price of train tickets now.
Because
we got our train tickets on Saturday, 469 crowns.
What, each?
For standard.
Wow. Was that on Chede or Regio?
That was on Regio.
That is pricey, actually, now. Because I came back... The only seat left on my train back was a first-class job.
Uh-huh.
And that was, like, 530.
Yeah.
Which is wild if you're paying that for standard. That's mad.
Because some of the boys wanted to go first class to Prague for the darts. And I was like, I don't need that, because what am I really going to be doing on a train at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Mm.
It's probably not going to be drinking, considering that...
It's going to be a day of...
The day of drinking.
Yeah.
Of which, you know, spoiler alert, that's exactly what it turned out to be. But... I didn't see the use of it, but 469, and maybe that was because I booked it a few days in advance only, but yeah, it wasn't great.
Anyway, that's that. I'm going to look at my list.
Zhizhkov.
Zhizhkov it is, isn't it?
It is.
Right, so how do we want to do this?
What do you mean?
Would you like me to do a bit of a match report first, or give us your overall impression, or
what let's sort of set the scene, I suppose.
Okay.
Because, first of all, it must be said, lovely day in Prague.
Lovely day in Prague.
16, 17 yes. degrees for a...
Blue skies, yeah.
And again, just for context, listener, for those who are not aware, a lot of games in the second division kick off at 10:15 in the morning. Viktoria Zhizhkov are known for mostly kicking off at 10:15 at home, regardless. And that's not just a league thing, actually a traditional thing for the club. So you'd come the night before.
I had, yeah. I'd seen a couple of mates on Saturday and then sort of got a sort of cheap hotel near the ground overnight.
And then obviously being at the darts the day before, I was in a hotel as well. And then me the guys took a taxi over because...
Yeah, there's a fair few of us. So shout out to Mark and Sander, part of the Dutch Mafia.
Steve was also there.
Mm-hmm. I think that was everyone who made it to the game, was it not?
Teresa was there, your friend.
My mate Teddy was there, but like of your darts crew.
Of the darts crew.
Yes, but my friend Teddy came and she'd never been basically to a live sporting event in her life.
Yeah.
She had a whale of a time, apparently, which is, you know, the only one who did.
Yes.
It would appear.
Yes, because the tone was set for me from actually getting up and feeling quite okay. going into the stadium. Saw Dan the no man's land bit between home and away, got a bit of chat, was presented with a pint by the by the guys, and the moment that I had a sip of the beer, I felt like I was going to die.
Right.
So I spent a lot of the match just with my head in my hands. And that probably wasn't helped by there being several moments within the game that also would just naturally leave everyone with their head in their hands.
The one moment that I remember you not having your head in your hands was descending the steps to absolutely bollock Philipp Mucha.
He's shite.
The line... What the fuck was that, you useless cunt? I can't wait to get rid of you in January, you fucking twat.
Was that what I
was
said?
Yes.
God.
Oh. So that was entertained with flailing arms.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you could say it wasn't a masterpiece by Mucha.
Artist he.
Listeners will remember us not speaking fondly about our other goalkeeper at Zbrojovka Brno.
Yeah.
Who?
No food, no art.
Yes. Yeah. So, but they both the goalkeepers, they seem to have a very different skill set, but like a bad skill set, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because Svarček, I used to say he was a decent shot stopper, and I think Mucha is a relatively decent shot stopper too. Both of them suffer from the fact they are not proactive enough and they don't communicate well enough, which absolutely happened for Zhizhkov. We'll start by saying that we scored first.
Yes.
It was a pretty decent goal as well. Cronus picks up on a kind of wayward pass, drives forward, plays it right, and Potocny slams it into the roof of the net. It's a it's a decent goal, actually.
It is, yeah.
But 5 minutes later, there is a...
Not even, I would say. I don't think it was even 5 minutes.
But there is a ball forward that Stjepanek is facing his own goal and is being bullied by Tomasz Nedzid.
Shocked.
Yeah. Stjepanek being bullied by literally anyone.
Anyone.
And Stjepanek and Muka can't communicate. Muka's not sure whether to come out or not. Stjepanek doesn't know whether to play it back to him. And between the confusion of the two of them, Nedzid just nicks it.
Yeah.
And just goes, I'm fucking having this. Yeah, and that's 1-1.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah, absolute communication breakdown.
Very similar to the complete, you know, sort of just head loss that Stjepanek had at the Varnsdorf game. Just the way that he, you know, any time that he's got his back to the far goal, he's just not particularly good.
Yeah, I...
There's no awareness. I mean, there's no spatial awareness at
all. I am going to blame Muka in a way for that, because with the away end in Žižkov, you're basically on top of the pitch.
Yeah.
So you're very, very close, and you can see exactly what's going on. I am going to blame Muka for that. However, three of the most calamitous goals we've conceded all season all have Stjepanek as the one kind of, you know, the one consistent factor.
Yeah. I would be astounded if he keeps a regular place next year. Astounded.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of minutes later, Nedzid makes it 2-1. As Muka comes out again, slides in, misses the ball with a sort of outstretched leg.
It's just clumsy.
Yeah.
It's just clumsy. It is one of those, does somebody make that sort of mistake at a 3 p.m. kickoff when you're fully woken up? I don't know. That's just sort of speculation. But there's just... I just find it infuriating.
Mm.
There's a question if that went over the line, by the way, if I'm thinking of the right goal there.
Because
I wasn't entirely convinced that it went over the line. But still, I don't think that that should take away from the fact that, again, it's just people in key parts of the pitch left wanting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the best part of the game.
2-2 follows soon enough. It's Potocny getting his second from a belting free kick.
Great goal.
Far out, way out wide.
Great goal.
Yeah, really, really nice hit. And that sort of concludes a scrappy but entertaining first half. I mean, you know, there was a lot going on. A lot of it was shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't say you were not entertained to some degree or another. Mm. Second half starts a bit more cagely, but on 73 minutes, Batioka plays the ball wide to Roman Richter. And his cross is bundled into the net by the hapless Stjepanek.
Uh-huh.
That makes it 3-2. And we offer very little else apart from the introduction of, checks notes, a centre-half. Great. Chasing the game, you bring on Ludek Pernica. It didn't matter because...
Ludek Pernica, by the way, who has been the entire season just stealing a wage.
Yeah. He does absolutely nothing to help the fact that Tomasz Nedzid, at the age of 35 and still going as strong as you like, completes his hat-trick. And fucking fair play to him. Gets a standing O, brought off in like the 90...
Yeah.
You know, first... You know, 90th plus 1 minute, doing an absolute job on us. And, you know, well... Well done to him. An absolute pain, even at the age of 35.
Yeah. I cannot remember his name for the life of me, but I was also very impressed with Žižkov's number 7 at the match, who was playing on the right wing.
That might have been Richter, actually.
I thought he was terrific, and I don't think we had much of an answer for him. I mean, Zbrojka arguably started the second half better than Žižkov, but it all just faded away, really. Carbon copy of last season's fixture, which was also 4-2 to Žižkov in Prague. And so, you know, decent enough turnout. You'd expect a decent enough turnout, though, in, because you do have, you know, Zbrojovka fans who do unfortunately live in the capital who don't get to see their team as often. But again, just...
I mean, as a fan, it is one of my favourites to do because there's no arsiness, really. There's no animosity. The home and away fans mix at the bar. And, like, there's no... Like, you know, there's no massive dickheadery.
I find it doesn't gel well with my own personal life schedule. That's the only problem with Victoria.
Well, 10:15 on a Sunday,
Because, I mean, it's rare that I'm not hungover at a 10:15. And there was just, it just went a bit turbo then as well. So,
But even though, thank you to everyone who came out. Thanks to everyone who said hello, bought us drinks,
people,
and you know, saw people before, during, and after. So that was really nice. So thank you to everyone for that.
There is a sort of a grim solidarity sort of happening right now with Zbrojovka Brno.
And you know, I mean, people we don't even really see that much. Like Roman was there to say hello, and you know, it was just aside from the game, it was a very pleasant. You know, morning in the sunshine.
It was pleasant, rather. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't poisonous. That's the whole thing. Because, like, last season, you'll remember, we did not watch the last 10 minutes of the game because the whole away section
just left as a protest,
There is now, I think, just an acute awareness from everybody that this team is not good enough and this manager doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah. Actually, that was at the very end, there was a bit of a... You know, argle bargle between the ultras and Hinek specifically.
Yes, yes, because Hinek just looks
lost,
out
of his depth, clueless, etc.
And and doesn't, you know, the problem is that he has had half a season. Let's be real, right?
Yeah.
To this, and he doesn't know his own lineup.
No, absolutely
at all.
No.
So I'm just looking through the look. I mean, I'm just going to go through the. You know, the 11 that I see here on on the app, and tell me genuinely if you can see a future at the club post January for any of these players, right?
Okay.
So Filip Mucha.
Ideally not.
Jakub Janecki.
No.
Filip Štěpánek.
Fuck no.
Jiří Hamza.
Yes, because he's young and he is quite versatile.
Yes. We're in agreement with everything so far.
Yeah.
Roman Potocny.
Yes, because the fans don't like him. He doesn't necessarily like being here, but he's a trier.
Yeah.
You know.
David Polasek.
Is a kid. This is his first start.
Jiří Texel.
Yes, the only sensible head on the pitch.
Yeah. Lukáš Kuber.
Hasn't done a lot, but probably worth keeping on.
Daniel Švancara.
Yes.
Adam Kronos.
Because he offers a physicality nobody else does, but he's not great.
Denis Granečný.
Yes.
For me, Denis Granečný, and you know, we have a good laugh about Denis on this podcast or whatever. Denis is absolutely one of those players that's there until there's someone better that we can just replace him with. Because the thing about Denis Granečný is that he's versatile. You would never start him if you really could. Mm. Like, you would have him sort of come on. And now, actually, you know, just I'm not going to go through the whole squad. I'm just going to go through the five substitute players as well.
It's going to be
it's putting a point. Well, no, actually, but like, because I mean, first of all, Daniel Polák.
Again, never seen him.
18 years old, right? Came on in the second half. Tomáš Šmejkal.
Had a bit of a flash at the end of last year, but otherwise, no.
Has just never done anything, really. Zdeněk Toman.
Again, a kid. Started a couple of games the end of last year. Looks sort of okay, but nothing special.
We're seeing a pattern emerging here. Filip Večeřa.
Again, know nothing about him.
18 years old, tears it up for the bees. And Ludek Pernica...
can get fucked.
So, look, so we would basically... And all of that, like, every single person that you would get rid of from that team is with, I think, one exception, is over the age of 25.
Right.
Right? Cooper, I think is what I wouldn't keep Cooper. And he's 20, but everyone else there is a senior player that should know much better,
yeah,
and should be much better. And this is the problem. And then when you basically, so we got rid of most of the defensive line just there, right? That is where the problem is, because we don't score and we do concede. Third time lucky. We do concede. We concede a fucking lot. And then when we're talking about the front line there, we're going, we don't score enough, right? Yeah. So we've never been able to effectively place strikers. So a long-winded way of saying you'd get rid of almost all of your starting 11.
Yeah.
And this, you know, to maybe bring it full circle, when the Vlaashian game was when we got into the relegation zone, this is where we finished bottom. This is now we're bottom of the entire league at this point.
Yeah.
Sobering stuff.
And just to really see where we are, we have got two B teams to play, Slavia and Banik.
Hooray.
Should we talk vaguely briefly about them?
Well, David, we, like you say, are going to be playing two B teams.
The bees
in the line, not the bees, not the. Who was it in that remake of The Wicker Man? The rubbish. Not the bees, not the bees.
Don't know.
Terrible. Get in touch. So yeah, I've bunched the two together because not only is Slavia B at home on the 25th of October and Banik Ostrava B away on the 3rd of November, quite uninspiring games. But also, well, I couldn't be bothered. And also, when it comes to B teams, you can't really do a proper preview because the squads are so fluid.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, they're assembled through the youth and academy, the senior teams. You'll get, you know, players from the A team dropping down in case of injury, fitness issues and so on. So you'd need to do an analysis of basically the senior teams as well in order to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the difference for that is Brojovka Brno, because, you know, we're so bereft of quality that we're just taking players from the B team instead in order to do this. So that was a horn, if you heard that, on the... is that again, yeah. I hope Priebram are well. I don't. So, I mean, these are actually when you...
I was going to say, all right, Jessica Knappit.
These are actually... Good. These are actually, unfortunately, quite important matches in the context of our season. As the plan, you know, has to be, and we touched on this earlier, it's about riding out three games before going into the winter break with a squad that's limited on quality, right? You'll have noticed as well, listener, that a game that we have not mentioned whatsoever in the 50-odd minutes that we've been recording so far is our cup game again at home, away to Sparta Prague. Because ultimately it means fucking nothing except being funny if we got something.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, we're not getting anything. You could play Sparta's B team, got that look forward to later on in the season as well, and we'll still get nothing from that game. So you have to look at these two B team matches, and then we round off this part of the year with playing Opava on the 9th. So you've listened to a lot already about how we're shite, right? And it's how it's been quite negative. A lot of negative sexual imagery. But keep in mind that actually Slavia are only 5 points better in ninth. And Banik are even closer. There's a 3-point gap there as well. So there is stuff to play for. These are both as well, keep in mind, teams that came up last season as well.
True, yeah.
But the one thing that that stuck out to me like a sore thumb when I was doing the preview was that Slavia B have Martin Berkovic.
Really?
And that passed me by.
What, the actual Martin
the
Berkovic?
The 35-year-old Martin Berkovic, yes.
In fair play to him.
This is, look, so I looked at this, right? I mean, I just thought it was funny to mention or whatever, because this is ostensibly, let's be real here, this is ostensibly a coaching signing. So there are two keepers in front of him, of course. So he is obviously there to... do, you know, be a positive influence in the dressing room, do the training, do the youth, not just the B team and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just in case someone gets crocked, he could be there on the bench or something. So he's that sort of stage of his career sort of thing. So
I really, really want all of the ultras to be singing his name, despite the fact he's just a coach on Friday. I think that would be very funny.
Yeah, this is a Friday Friday at 5 game?
Friday at 6.
6 game, okay, yes. So, well, that'd be good. Well, remains to be seen if he'll be in the squad, but
even so, I just think it'd be funny. Yeah.
So, I mean, the other player that I would maybe look out for, just, you know, and this is me, if you even go on to things like Transfer Market, you can't really see the squad.
Yeah.
Because it's so, so fluid. So I was going through players that were actually have played like last 5-6 games or whatever. Daniel Tola looks okay. So he's helped himself to a couple of goals. He leads the team in assists. Jan Tredel as well. He leads a squad in goals, but he's a right back, and that says okay. something about, you know, Slavia B, right? So they're not bringing their best strikers here. They're going up and warming the bench in the A team. So if you're getting 4 goals and you're the top scorer, then you are, and you're right back, something of a Sporovka shaped problem is happening there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're getting 4 goals and you're the top scorer, you're Roman Potocnik.
I was going to say, yeah. So so maybe we'll vet it, you know, and then quickly then turning to the match later on against Banik B. And fair play, I think we've mentioned this before, on fair play to Banik for trying to get a little bit of excitement around their B team as well. So, you know, they're using their main stadium for some of the matches. They have games that they're almost categorizing as a category A, if you know what I mean. So, you know, games that would have been quite a poisonous derby, you know, up in the first, you know, division. Not just us, and there's obviously animosity there, but obviously their biggest historical rivals, Opavar, in this division, for example. So, I mean, and they actually, what's really useful is that they came out on top against Slavia B at the weekend. So you've got a point of comparison there, and that was 3-1. It took a reasonably late penalty for Zlín to beat them as well a few weeks ago, which suggests to me that they're reasonably organised. And if there's one surefire way to beat Zborovka Brno right now,
reasonably organized.
Not even fully organized, but reasonably organized. So, and they've maybe actually done a couple of smart things as well. So they've got a guy called David Kasparek, who is leading their line. And he was a summer acquisition from Zlínsko. Keeping in mind that Banik B won the MSFL last season and Zlínsko were second. So they've obviously...
Take
you know,
their top scorer and go.
Yeah, they've noticed him as well.
Give him a go.
You know, so that was definitely something that that caught the attention there. For some reason, it didn't save the rest of my notes on this one as well, because there is a little bit more. But they actually picked up a couple of players from Lishen and Vishkov as well over the past sort of 6 months to a year. So there is some familiar faces that will be there. But I think this is from the cat standing on my laptop later on. I've deleted a bunch of that.
Fair enough.
But I'm looking at how much we've recorded so far, and I think that's a natural end to the podcast. May God have mercy on our souls.
Yes, indeed. That's, as you say, that does seem like a natural end, until of course we've said thank you very much, listener, for listening and keeping up with us. Follow us on all the socials, recommend us to your friends or enemies, whoever you want to inflict this on, and we will be back to talk with you in a couple of weeks, I suppose. Until then,
bye.
Bissy.
Angel. Ape.
Jabel.
Buch. Bidji.
Spi. Lidži.
Vždyť to známe. Žádný z nás to nemá rád.
Nemá rád.
Že my dva,
že my dva
se furt budem prát.
Ty máš pěkný hábit. Mám všichni zbábit.
Jak to mu
Moje
knihe pere.
do nebe. Oh, aleluja, za to může, to nejsi,
on je. Já od jezdí ke zdi, ty na vráčky jezdíš.
To ty máš blébe, mám si žíky vábit. Ty seš mladě, moc rozkošné.